Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, good evening. Bye, Babe, is Bob Kincaid, and I hate my sinuses. Jeez. Nah, so I took a night off and went and did some stuff. Walked around in the cold night air and who'd have thunk I'd get a cold or whatever this is, but at any rate, it's not the best of circumstances. I've got a cold. Agnes didn't walk around in the cold night air last night, and she's got a cold. Well, she's declaring it the flu. And she ought to know. I can't possibly be as feeling as bad as she. We got a fever working over here. Me, so far, I just feel like somebody, poured some Ready Mix into my sinuses. So, I'll be doing the dot, 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 dot on the cough switch tonight while I sneeze my poor brains out. It may be bubonic plague for all I know. I do apologize for bailing out last night. I feel like I'm cheating when I miss a night with you guys. It was necessary and we had some fun. And talked to a lot of really, really nice people. And, we're building the show. So, good evening to you all, whether you're sitting and just listening or listening and chatting in the Tom Hartman chat room. Many, many thanks to Tom for his congeniality and letting folks gather there and chat about his show as well as any others that may happen to strike folks' fancy. So this today was the beginning of Senate debate. Oh, my aching back. Today was the beginning of the foregone conclusion that is the Alito nomination. Yeah, that's more like it.
How are you?
And I say debate my aching back because it's not a debate. I know the rules of debate, and this is not debate that's going on in the Senate any more than it's a debate when two presidential candidates stand up and can't even address each other. Okay. There's not even a good. I heard speeches by Hillary Clinton. She came out. She elucidated a strong case against Sammy the Slime. John Kerry. John Kerry made a strong case against Sammy Bad Breath. But the real surprise today was the stirring Jeremiad posted against Alito by Barbara Mikulski of Maryland. She was big medicine. She said, among other things, if I voted to confirm Judge Alito, I don't know who I'd be voting for. Am I voting for the Sammy Alito who put every rotten conservative organization on his resume in 1985 because he said he was just trying to get a job? Or am I voting for the Sammy Alito who's sitting in front of us and just won't answer a daggum question? Hers was, it was the best of the bunch by far and away. And there was mention made on the program the other night about reviving the Cosell brick. And I think that's a good idea, especially in light of the posturing going on in the Senate that's being run on C-SPAN. That's where I watch it. As well as the upcoming, a week from last night, State of the Union address. And just a reminder, we will be on the air during the State of the Union address. It begins at 9 o'clock. And I intend to have it running in the background. We'll, I don't know, we may run it in the foreground. Like there's a, like there's perspective, like this is a picture. But anyway, we'll run it. And you can all take your, you can get your rubber bricks. I'll get a rubber brick. We'll throw rubber bricks at things. Now, over at BartCop.com, he's developed a tradition of encouraging people to make signs to hold up next to the television during the State of the Union address. And there's always some dandies at BartCop where that is concerned. So, you know, join us. I mean, it's... Well, here, I'll tell you. It's bad enough that that I have to listen to Dear Leader mangle the English language, lie to the American people, and generally make me sick on my freaking birthday. Yeah, I mean, so please join us. We'll at least get it put up with the venom together. Okay? I tell you what, let's go straight to the phones. Jeff is calling from Pennsylvania. Hey, Jeff, you're head on.
Hi, Bob. How you doing tonight?
Better
than last night, hopefully.
Well, yeah, I've got some ibuprofen going for me, so.
Well, hang in there. It'll get better.
All right, thanks.
Unfortunately, I read something this evening that just got my panties in a frist.
Okay.
Turns out that Bob Casey, running for the Senate seat here in Pennsylvania, came out today in the Philadelphia Inquirer saying he supports Alito. And I went through the roof.
Why couldn't he keep his mouth shut, Jeff? I mean, he's not sitting in the Senate. He's not called upon for this.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, it just turned me around. I was pretty much willing to hold my nose and vote for the guy if I had to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go out there and pound the pavement and do everything I can to stand behind Chuck Panaccio, because he's a better candidate. Unfortunately, the party leadership in this state decided they were going to put Casey up because he had name recognition. I'm tired of this. I'm just so tired of You know, this
pandering.
Political hackery.
Yeah, well, and it's pandering. It's sickening in all of its forms. But we know that Casey is against a woman's right to choose. And now for him to come out and try to out Santorum, this is not going to help him in his election effort.
No, it's not. It's going to be it's going to be a 45 through the left foot.
Yeah, exactly.
But I seriously hope that he'll reconsider that thought. You know.
Well, the only way that he will, Jeff, is if people actively get hold of his campaign and tell him, you know, you're not off to the best of starts.
Yeah. Well, before the show started, I was composing my letter to him, and I try and put my communications in, by God, honest to goodness, real written letters, and send them through the regular postal service. So there's some documentation that, I voiced my opinion, and I've gotten a few really wonderful responses from people in state government here, but they were pretty much all mindless, meaningless, sort of form letter responses, never really getting to the crux of my argument.
Well, that's sort of the same response that I'm getting when I call Ben Nelson's office, for instance.
Oh.
And tell him he needs to be a real well, thank you very much. We'll pass your remarks on to the senator. Yeah, I bet you will.
Well, yeah, I don't know. If things keep up the way they are, it might get to the point where a few of us go off the deep end and get a little radical here.
I think it's about time for that. I mean, you know, nothing mean, nothing hateful or anything, but we've got to make these people understand that we're not going to be discounted.
Yeah, well, William Rivers Pitt.
I'm very familiar with him.
Yeah, he made a good point. And he said, you know, if you want to be real Democrats, State of the Union, as soon as he starts mouthing all of these platitudes and mindless rhetoric, turn your back, walk out.
Yeah, just get up and go. Have the same amount of guts that those students at Georgetown had yesterday when they turned their back on Alberto Gonzalez.
That was beautiful.
and their sign. those who would trade liberty for security deserve neither.
Ben Franklin said it best.
Yeah, I was so impressed with those kids. Every now and then I get the idea that there's a little bit of hope for the future.
Yeah, there is. And I just cross my fingers and beat my head against the wall for a while and then go out and do some more work.
Well, you know, it's all we can do. I made a bunch of calls today. I had a great conversation today, Jeff, oddly enough, with an aide in Senator Mary Landrieu's office.
Yeah.
Turns out the I just, you know, laid it on the line to him and asked him what kind of response he was getting, and I think the progressive community needs to know this. I said, "Are you hearing a lot?" And he said, "Oh yeah, we're getting a lot of calls." I said, "Let me guess. The religious right," he said, "the phone is ringing off the hook."
Yeah.
Yeah, he said these religion industry people, what they say, the listeners believe.
Oh,
you know, it's yeah. So we have to redouble our efforts. You know, the other side is coordinated. I don't know how coordinated we are.
Not enough, I guess.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Well, just get back out there on VU and beat the streets and try and get some more people making phone calls.
Well, I hope we can do it. And the phone numbers are all listed over there at WD40.com as well. So anybody who needs help can go there and get all the phone numbers they need. Or, you know, Senate.gov, there's a pull-down menu state by state. You can get the phone numbers. And all of the numbers, of course, are 202-224. And then the only difference is the last four digits.
Well, there's still a few toll-free numbers out there.
Oh yeah,
that are operational.
Well, that's true. I've tried the toll-frees though, Jeff, and half the time I get busy signals.
Half the time, probably 70%.
Well, yeah, that's true. So, but you know, if there are folks out there that have calling plans that have unlimited long distance, especially those people really need to wear it out.
Yeah,
because that way you're not eating a toll charge.
Well, I do pretty well with my 4.25 cents a minute for long distance, and I'll pay the price for that.
Well, you know, it's a small price for freedom, Jeff.
Absolutely.
Good to hear from you. Have yourself a great night.
You too. Take care.
Keep the fight up, for God's sakes.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care. And a quick break. We'll come back and go back to more phone calls. You know, I was gone for a night. It's you guys' turn. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I will survive without you.
Thievery.
Yes.
Just wanted to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so.
It
was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway. Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Tom DeLay, indicted for criminal money laundering, pocketed tens of thousands in campaign contributions from indicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff. 48 trips to golf resorts, 100 flights aboard company jets, 200 nights at world-class resorts and hotels, $1 million from Russian tycoons to allegedly influence his vote. $1 million from Russian tycoons? What else will we uncover about Tom DeLay? It's time for DeLay to resign.
The Democratic Party keeps moving closer and closer to where the Republican Party is in order to try to win elections. And I've watched how Democrats have consistently become more and more disgusted with the National Party because of the fact that they keep doing this. To no surprise, what did I find when I opened up the Washington Post? Senator Clinton crafts vague stance on war with eye to 2008. Senator Clinton, get a clue and, you know, get a backbone, for God's sake. You know, stand up and stand for something. I guess that's what really gets to me worse than anything, you know, anything else, is that when I vote for a leader, I want that leader to say to me, this is not a popular stand, and I understand this. This stand that I'm taking is going to polarize a lot of people, but you know what? I believe in what I'm doing, you know, and I will do what I can to carry it through regardless of my political future. This is Bruce Birch. I'd like to invite you to join me for All Things Reconsidered this Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. For connection information, visit allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Life is a paradise.
Whoa. Welcome back. Yeah, we got plenty to talk about on this Wednesday evening. Prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll go right back to the phones in a second, but just something, a little something for your prayer meeting edition thought before we do. You know, Representative Roy Blunt, and, well, you know, make your own blunt jokes. Representative Roy Blunt's running for House Majority Leader. He's quite possibly even sleazier than Tom DeLay. Now he's a conservative and he has family values, right? Sure. turns out one of his biggest contributors to his political action committee, a political action committee by name Roy Blunt's Rely on Your Beliefs Fund, was from. A world-class phone sex operator. Yeah, that's right. Sundays, Roy is in church. Wednesdays, Roy is in church. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, he's taking money from phone sex operators. Look, I got nothing against phone sex operators. Frankly, you could make the argument that for people who are alone, it's, well, you get the idea. Again, I got no problem with them. But when you hold yourself out there and you say, yea, verily, brethren and sister, and I am among the holiest of the holy, hallelujah, I'm a Republican, praise Jesus. When you do that, you really ought not be taking money from phone sex operators. especially when you're part of a party whose Justice Department is trying to drop the hammer on organizations like Google and MSN and Yahoo, MSN and Yahoo having conveniently just capitulated and Google fighting it, trying to find out everything you look for on the Internet. Kind of proud of Google so far. The right wing's having a fit, so that means they must be doing something right. Yeah, but the Republican Party, you know, they want to know if you went to spankmeivebeennaughty.com. And yet, Roy Blunt, fine, upstanding, good, godly, moral, yay, verily, Roy Blunt, hallelujah, Roy Blunt is taking money from a phone sex operator. Yay. Yes. Pass me that serpent that I may handle it, and pass me that cup of Kool-Aid that I may have me a big swig while I'm calling, never mind, 1-900. No, by the way, he ain't giving the money back either. Let's go to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
What's up, Dale?
I don't know, man.
You got a case of the Fantods tonight?
No, I got an ugly head cold or something.
Okay. Speaking of phone sex, can you get pregnant by having phone sex?
I can't. I don't know. So others, you know, I ain't got no uterus.
I actually had someone ask me that today.
Oh, my God.
I know a girl from South Carolina who lives in San Francisco, and mm-hmm. she runs one of these phone sex things.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes by the name of Swamp Slut.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. She is a trip. She is an absolute trip.
I can well imagine.
Moving on here, getting out of that subject, you know that PSA that's talking about that Southern Baptist guy getting caught doing the Stations of the Cross?
That's not a PSA. That's a promo for our good friends, John and Bruce, with, Fourth Estate Radio.
But, you know, I tell you, let me make a declarative statement.
Well, no.
I wish he'd dropped George.
This is the third time you've brought that up. Let it go.
But at least he makes good music, you know, and he wasn't messing around with a minor. But what I want to say to you is this. There's a website called fallenheroes.org.
Okay.
I'm going to say it again. Fallen heroes.org.
Mm-hmm.
And the number is 1-800-340-HERO, H-E-R-O.
Okay.
1-800-340-HERO. And this is a contribution for a center in Texas for these young men and women who are coming back from Iraq who've been damaged and being treated basically like somebody in our throwaway society who has a burned-out microwave or an iPod that doesn't work anymore.
Sure.
And I would like to urge anybody who has a $5 or whatever they can contribute to go online or call that toll-free number and send them some money because they need $8 million to build the state-of-the-art center that's going to take care of these.
Where are they going to build it, Jim?
It's going to be in Texas, near that center where Bush went.
Yeah, well, near the center that Bush closed.
Wherever.
Yeah,
wherever.
The center in Waco was shut down.
I'm not sure what the name of it is. Now, Don Imus has been promoting this, and so has Lou Dobbs. And, you know how Imus is, how he gets, you know.
Yeah.
He just gets a little cranky, but he's been, he does a lot of good for people. I think he really does. He's got a good heart. And I know Lou Dobbs does, too, and I don't mind listening to him. And, of course, I know what it's like, too.
Well, the biggest shame of it, Jim, is, and I'm, this is no criticism of people who want to give. I certainly wouldn't be doing that. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, that is the people of the United States' job to be done through the government of the United States.
Well, look, it's not getting done. The VA's going to run the place. But it's not getting done, and they're having to go out to the private sector to solicit money for it. That's just a fact.
Yeah, because
now you'll be pleased to know that they asked Halliburton to contribute, and they refused.
You're kidding.
No.
Ugh.
And they're making more money out of this than anybody else, out of this Vietnam thing. That's all it is for them. It's just a...
Well, in light of what we know about the dirty water from the Halliburton dirty water story from a couple of days ago, they might want to build a leishmaniasis wing on that facility as well.
Well, see, we're talking about these kids who are coming back from our Southwest Asia. Have you ever been there, Bob?
No.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's like going to the face of the moon, okay?
I don't doubt it.
I mean, when you go over to that place, you can't have a drink. You have to be sure not to show your bare feet to somebody because they're going to kill you if you do.
Right.
And you're in a totally alien environment. It's just like lunar landscape. And they don't want you there in the first place, okay?
Right.
It is not a, it is not good duty. It's bad. And these kids go over there, and they sit there, and they do their best, and they give the finest they've got. They give it all. And they come back damaged, and nobody wants to look at them anymore.
Oh, I know. Well,
and our government is not taking care of them. That's just a fact of life.
Yeah.
And their life insurance policy was originally $6,000. They bitched about raising it to $12,000. And finally, because of people like Don Imus, they got it up to $250,000, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a fact of life of what we're doing with our Army and our armed forces.
Oh, I know. There are...
Our armed forces are being stretched to the point, and I'm going to say this again, and I don't care what that a-hole Rumsfeld says, they're being stretched to the point of they're not being non-viable.
Yeah.
They cannot sustain this continued burden that is being placed on them by people who are using the war to make money.
Well, see, that's the problem, Jim. We have a government that believes that government is bad and everything associated with government is bad. There's an army that is one-third the size of the United States military forces in Iraq already there. You know, the mercenaries, the so-called private contractors. There's 55,000 of them. Okay, and
right.
that is the future of the military in the eyes of the Republican Party. They're doing this to the military on purpose, Jim.
Well,
this is on purpose. This is a deliberate act.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is one thing that's going to come out and bite them in the butt. And there's one other thing I want. I'm going to get off my chest if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
And we're talking about the culture of corruption. Well, that not only extends to from politicians, but also to a lot of doctors and lawyers. And I'm talking about doctors, too, okay?
Yeah.
Now, the relationship a doctor has with his drug company, a lot of times, I think, is inimical to the relationship he has with his patient.
Yeah.
Now, these drug reps come into these doctor's office. They did it with my doctor last week. And what they do is they come in, they give them all kinds of gifts. They go to Applebee's and have lunch brought into them. And don't you tell me that doesn't influence that doctor with drugs and promoting drugs and stuff is not necessarily good for that patient. And these people feel like, that, you know, these doctors and lawyers and politicians, that they're entitled to these benefits and perks, and they, you know, they think it's their due. Well, I got something new for them. It ain't their damn due.
No. I don't know about you. I don't know what your experience was. I don't know what your experience was, Jim, but I've sat in a doctor's office and seen people who, you know, go up to the desk and say, okay, I'm here for my 10:45 appointment. It's 10:45, and the doctor's letting the drug rep in before they're bringing the patient in.
Listen, you better have a good magazine to read because your butt's going to be warm in that sofa for a long while until that drug rep gets out of there. I can guarantee you that. That's happened to me before, too. And I'll tell you one thing. I went in there and interrupted a meeting one time.
Attaboy.
And, you know, I'll tell you, I'm mad as hell, and I ain't going to take it.
Well, I don't blame you.
And I won't say one other thing, and I'm going to get off here. I don't know how in the world you can be contrary and get these people's attention without getting a little nasty and ugly with them. And I mean butt-level nasty.
Well,
if you want to listen to Bush in that State of the Union address he's going to give next week, that's just a unit of nonsense, man. That's how much nonsense you can utter in, what, an hour and a half?
Well, we'll only 9 to 10, but that's the thing. We'll have him going, and we will, you know, we'll pull him down and let people talk about what he's saying, and, you know, we will call the devil by his name, you know, in exorcism circles. You got to do that, right?
Well, I guess so, but, you know, I just as soon listen to some of Hitler's speeches from Triumph of the Will. That made more damn sense.
Well, but some of us don't speak German, Jim.
That's okay. You can get the feel of it anyway. But I'm telling you, I just think that it's a damn shame when our government is so sorry that they will let these young men and women come back, and we ask you as a private sector to build a state-of-the-art rehabilitation center. Well, damn it, we're going to build it, and we're going to do it. Okay?
All right. Sounds good.
So I wish you would...
Fallenheroes.org.
And the number is 1-800-340-HERO.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's a hell of a thing to give your life and then come back and have people treat you like something that ought to be discarded.
Exactly.
I'm gone.
All right, take it easy. You know what? I'm firmly convinced that the breaking of the military is an intentional act. This is, you know, this is from the same group that says we're going to drown the government in the bathtub. Guess what? You know, there's practically no quartermaster corps. There's practically no quartermaster corps anymore because it's been outsourced. It's been contracted out to Halliburton and KBR. I think it was on Bart Cop's page a couple of days ago, a quote from an officer saying that they can't eat in the Halliburton cafeterias anymore because every time they do, they get sick. You know, there used to be a lot of complaining about, you know, army food. But there wasn't a lot of complaining about the fact that, you know, you could get food poisoning. It wasn't the best in the world, but you weren't going to, you know, be out for a month of Sundays with it.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Well, see, we'll get around to it sooner or later. There was a story I caught today. A number of British soldiers are getting ready to sue the Ministry of Defense for failing to provide adequate care for British soldiers coming back with PTSD and various and sundry related disorders. The poison water story. Troops and civilians. This from Monday, and I'm sure it was covered on other shows, but troops and civilians at a U.S. military base in Iraq were exposed to contaminated water last year, and employees for Halliburton couldn't get their company to inform camp residents. Now, a couple of weeks ago, a month ago, whatever, we discussed leishmaniasis. A group of soldiers from West Virginia came home with the skin infection version of leishmaniasis. Well, you get the internal version by drinking untreated water over there. And it makes typhoid look like a walk in the park. It'll take a 230-pound man down to 98 pounds in no time flat. And of course, the story is out and hit the wires in the last day or so about the further breaking of the military. And we're not talking about some liberal out there, you know, some pinko commie who says that the military is broken. This is the military saying the military is broken. This is a study commissioned by the military itself, for God's sakes. It's broken. It is stretched so thin as to be... there it is. Associated Press military writer. Robert Burns. Not that Robert Burns. Stretched by frequent troop rotations to Iraq and Afghanistan, the army has become a thin green line that could snap unless relief comes soon. Andrew Kripinovich, a retired army officer, wrote the report under a Pentagon contract, and he concluded that the army can't sustain the pace of troop deployments to Iraq long enough to break the back of the insurgency. And Rumsfeld comes out, wow, you know, there are known gnomes and garden gnomes and... Crazy old man. He gave an interview, Kripinovich did. You really begin to wonder just how much stress and strain there is on the army, how much longer it can continue. 136-page report with a sobering picture of the army's condition. Meanwhile, I'm driving to Charleston yesterday afternoon, and I'm listening to the Charleston station, and they've got some guy on from the Media Resource Center or some such right-wing caca. and it's the same old tired garbage.
We can't get them to tell the happy stories about Iraq. Iraq is a happy, happy place. I don't know why the liberal media won't tell the happy stories about Iraq. They have several new soccer fields. Some places in Iraq have electricity for 2 hours a day now. Why won't they tell the happy stories?
No kidding. No kidding. They won't tell the happy stories because there aren't any happy stories.
Our soldiers feel like they are winning. They feel like they can break the insurgency.
Of course they do. That's their job. They have to believe that way. Oh, God. God Almighty God. Let's take a break. I feel a sneezing fit coming on. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
State Radio. Bruce had this to say.
Latham is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention's Executive Committee. Okay. He was arrested and charged with offering to engage in an act of lewdness.
What?
Based on that one charge, I'm thinking he didn't offer to hire a prostitute. It sounded like to me that he was just like coming on to the guy.
Well,
maybe saying to him that he would give him a free something or another.
Well, I want to know if George Michael was in there for the meeting. Join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday night for Fourth Estate Radio. Get the details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Does the southeast thing during the winter months?
Yeah, he's just amazing. He'll have you up on top of your chair before you know it.
One of these nights we'll have to find his rendition of Fifi Bardot.
You ever heard Steve James?
No.
He plays the national still, and boy, he's something else too. He's got a version of Frankie and Albert, just incredible.
Oh wow!
Can we make fun of the right wingers on Paradise?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, there's a new Bin Laden tape that just came out a few minutes ago.
Oh, really?
And Bin Laden is in tears apologizing to Bill O'Reilly for not returning his phone calls. I don't know. Scott McKellen was caught transferring funds from an offshore account in Key West to a campaign to improve his image with the Log Cabin Republicans so they will not out him.
You know, we've got a friend, a listener to the program, who's given the Log Cabin Republicans a new name, Chris.
What's that?
The Log Closet Republicans.
Yeah, they splintered off from another organ.
I gotta get that snare drum in here.
Okay, Kim Mailman showed up with Secret Service agents and held up a production of Hairspray on Broadway by insisting to try on all the outfits in the show.
Now, see, I can see that. Yeah,
and then he burst into, "You made me love you. I didn't want to do it." The Cole Porter arrangement.
Exactly. Okay. Now was that a duet with Jimmy Jeff Ganigunk?
No, I'm getting to that.
Oh, okay.
Rick Santorum and Don Imus, is going to have the stage production of Brokeback Mountain, otherwise known as the Mud Turtle Diaries. Now, it's all these right-wingers, it's like Sesame Street. You've got Scotty, you've got Kenny, you've got Ricky, you've got Georgie, you've got Dickie, and Ganny. Who they insist on has to stay in the garbage can. I don't know why. I tell you, I don't get no respect, yeah.
Yeah, life is tough, I tell you.
I feel like Whoopi Goldberg trying to cast a vote in Palm Beach. You know?
he'll be here all the week, yeah. Folks. Don't forget to tip your waitstaff.
You know, don't forget to tap your waitress. Now, Agnes, you got talking about...
Yeah, I got to stay off the cold medicine, Chris.
Yeah, don't forget to tap your waitress.
Yeah.
All you need is, you know, to stand up and have your hand at your side there, like Don Rickles, you know.
Yeah.
But on America Blog right now, there is a story about somebody questioned Rick Santorum when he got off the train about the K Street project.
Uh-huh.
And Santorum started screaming. It's just a meeting, Santorum reportedly yelled again.
Now, this isn't a joke, right? I mean,
no, this is serious. He started screaming, "It's just a meeting," Santorum reportedly yelled, again in public, right near the Senate cafeteria where lots of folks were gathered. What Harry Reid said Wednesday when he announced the Democrat ethics reform package is a total lie. I can just see him freaking out.
Oh, look, freak is Rick Santorum's middle name, Chris. I mean, this dude plays dead fetus football.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I forgot when I talked about the Sesame Street, Grover.
Norquist, sure.
Yeah, Grover. Oh. Well, he's going to go into who's Big Bird.
No.
But, yeah, I mean, these freaks, I mean, okay, let's just say that we have footage of a high-powered Republican wasting a whole playground full of kids. What would the media say? It's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, no. Look, I got a report somewhere in the stack, and I don't like to waste paper, Chris, but this one I printed just because, it has to do with Zell Miller.
Oh, Lord.
Zell decided to go and meet with the anti-uterus people yesterday. I apologize. I am too late coming to this meeting. No, he said that. It is entirely my fault that I was sitting up in that governor's mansion while y'all was out here, and I apologize for not. Really, all of that is true. And then, you know, the reason I printed this thing, Chris, was because of one word. Maverick former Democratic Senator Zellman. Hell no, he's not a maverick, Chris. He's crazy. He's crazier than a sprayed roach.
He's in the Mexican version of Brokeback Mountain, isn't he? The stallion, right?
You're killing me, man. You're killing me.
I was. Hey, you know... they're idiots, and if you can't make fun of idiots, why?
Well, no, I mean, I think it's important to make fun of them.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, they are, were they not so damn dangerous, they would be comical. As it is, they're a threat. They're a threat to our national security.
Yeah, the old thing, you laugh or you cry.
Well, you know, if you go to Salon.com and you see last week's Tom Tomorrow cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
It's something like The Terrifying World of Conservatives. And I encourage everybody to go and have a look at it. It's hilarious, and it's what we've been talking about on this show for so long. These people, Chris, are dyed in the wool, and the color is yellow cowards. They are they're scared of their own shadow. They're scared of brown people. They're scared of anybody that's not quite as pink as they are.
I would not be surprised that there are bugs in every room of Barack Obama's house.
Me either.
It wouldn't surprise me. Eddie Murphy.
Everybody. Everybody. You're being listened to right now, Chris. There's somebody on hold right now. They're being listened to by the NSA.
Yeah. About 5 or 6 years ago, Eddie Murphy talked about he had some people sweep his house, and he found some bugs, so they took them out. Like, a few days later, they swept it again, and those bugs were back in the same place that they found them.
Oh, brother.
And that's just an entertainer.
You know, it
makes you wonder.
No, wonder. It makes me want to run and hide. Hey, Chris, we got to roll on. Good to hear from you, man.
All right. I love you, brother.
All right. Take care.
All right.
See ya. And quickly to Bob in North Dakota. Hey, Bob, you're head on.
How you doing?
Doing good. Yourself?
Oh, I don't think you're doing so good. Sounds like you're fighting a flu.
I don't know. Somebody poured some Ready Mix into my sinuses while I was asleep or something.
You got something going on.
Yeah.
This is about wake-up time, because guess what happened?
What's that?
I realized that it took this nation from 2003 to 2006.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
In my nation, it took us from 1961 until 1968. Okay?
Yeah, you mean to start...
to wake up.
Right.
No, wake up, people, because... Hey, the boot's on the back of your neck. It's not on the back of the Iraqi's neck. The boot's on your neck. And guess who put it there?
The Republican Party?
No.
A bunch of corporate fascists?
You put it there yourself.
Well, there's the. And, you know, the analogy you make with Vietnam is absolutely correct. Because, by the time the American people started to get tired of Vietnam and to even begin to protest a little bit in 1968, how many were dead in Vietnam by then, Bob?
1968, I think we had close to 40,000 dead by then, because in 1968 was a bad year for us.
Well, yeah, Tet, and that being the case, to get really worked up and start complaining in 1968. That's a little bit like closing the barn door when the horse is gone.
That's only about 2/3 of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only 2/3 of us that died there. 2/3 of us. I mean, there was another third that died. Okay. Do you want another 2,238? You know, like today. Okay, it was 2,220-something the other day. Now it's 8 more, Bob, today.
Yeah, I know,
I
know.
Just over 24 hours.
And I'm listening to the radio on the way down to Charleston yesterday evening, Bob, and I'm hearing this guy talking about how nobody will say about the happy stuff we're doing in Iraq, and something ran through my mind, and I thought, okay, let's all say Iraq is happy. If we agree that Iraq is happy, can we all just go home?
Bob, how happy are those... 8 young servicemen right now.
How happy are their families?
No. Hey, don't worry about their families. Nobody gives a damn about them. Not here in the United States, but America.
Nah.
We don't care about their families. Those are just, what, statistics. They're just numbers.
Yeah.
They don't mean nothing. It's like the nightly news. You look at it, don't mean nothing. Then you go back to work. My darling wife has... to work with people. Okay, she came home the other day and she says, well, this gal, she's a young gal, and she says, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear that stuff anymore. I just want to live my life. Okay?
Oh, God.
No. I just want to live my life. Well, guess what? If you do not stand up for yourself, you have no life. Your life is being controlled by someone else, and that's what this outfit's doing, or this Bush administration, or anybody that wants to tell you how to live. And they just don't want to hear about it because, you know, it might hurt. But guess what? Sometimes you have to take the pain. You got to take the pain, or you're going to go nowhere. Nowhere at all. Nobody can get anywhere until you realize. And I could give you volumes of people, of names, numbers, articles, and guess what? They don't want to read them. They don't want to hear them. They don't want to know anything about them.
Well, you know, the Bush administration doesn't. Yeah, they don't want us to see the funerals. They don't want us to see the caskets coming home. They don't want us to see the forklifts and the cardboard boxes. And what's more, the people, most of the American people, don't want to see it either, Bob.
Big Brother, okay, remember?
Yeah.
Good God, I've been listening to Malloy lately, and I've been bringing down his little snippets of 1984.
Oh, I love the 1984 reading. It's genius.
If anybody has any sense at all, I mean, anybody out there that hasn't read it, they should read it. And if they haven't, if they have read it, read it again. And those that haven't read it, and they know people that have never heard of the book 1984. If they don't get it, or they don't push it on people, say, hey, read this. Hey, you know, take a look at this. You know, I mean, because this is 1961 all over again. And guess what? You know, it wasn't, you know, what was it, 63 or 4? 64, I think it was, with the Gulf of Tonkin resolution.
Yeah, 64.
Yeah, 64. 65, we put our first Marine battalions in there, and the 3rd Marine Division moved in. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know that. It's historically correct to me, because I kind of was part of it, you know, because I joined the Marine Corps in 1966.
Mm-hmm.
And they drummed it into my head. But guess who they didn't drum into my head?
Who's that?
Well, his name is not spoken of a lot, but he won 2 Medals of Honor as a United States Marine, and his name is Smedley
Butler.
Darlington Butler. Remember the middle name. It's not Smedley D. Butler, it's Smedley Darlington Butler.
Most notable is the author of a fine book called War is a Racket.
Nailed on the head. Nailed on the head of that book, okay, is all the honor of this nation. And war is a racket, and we're pushed into it to make money for corporations. And it's time that we get back to the, what was that? I kind of remember it, Bob. I think it was called the Declaration.
Independence, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah, that little pamphlet.
Yeah, it was just a short piece. And it said, when in the, what was that?
Course of Human Events, yes.
When in the course of human events, you know, you come up against a government, you know, that just wants to rule as, Der Fuhrer. What did I say?
Yeah, can't say that. Can't say that.
Not, I didn't say Der Fuhrer.
No, you didn't say that.
I said, dear President.
Hey, Bob, we've got to roll on, brother, but thanks for all
get
the thoughts.
Get it done and keep it up. Just keep going and don't ever stop. Roll on, my boy, roll on.
And as long as my sinuses will let me tonight, Bob, take care. Bye now.
So just, put your, breathe some steam or something. No, hell, you got enough steam in you. Blow some out your nose and get after it. But hey, rest tonight, have a good night.
Yeah, I'm gonna have Agnes dip me by the heel in mentholatum or something.
Well, if that's what you gotta do, she gotta do it. I love you much.
Take care, Bob. Oh. See ya. We're out of here.
Glenda almost wanted to say hi to you.
Oh, hey, Glenda.
Huh?
Hey to Glenda. All right, we'll catch you soon, Bob.
Oh, okay. Well, Glenda, she takes. Okay, good night.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And quick break, then we'll come back with the second hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Yeah. Hey, friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines. But there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Origins of war. Not history's forces, nor the times, nor justice, nor the lack of it, nor causes, nor religions, nor ideas, nor kinds of government, nor any other thing. We are the killers. We breed wars. For the love of God, can't we love one another just a little?
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On at the Controls. My lovely wife, Agnes. And you heard Bob mention the seminal book by Major General Smedley Darlington Butler. It is called War is a Racket. You want to read it? It's hard to come by. But it just so happens you can read it at 12th, then that's 12thharmonic.com/wordpress/index.php/war-is-a-racket. So if you... If you go to 12thharmonic.com/WordPress, I imagine you will probably be able to find it. War is a Racket. Yeah, go and search on the site. And you know it's going to be something potent when you read the opening lines. War is a racket. It always has been. It is possibly the oldest, easily the most profitable, surely the most vicious. It is the only one international in scope. It is the only one in which the profits are reckoned in dollars and the losses in lives. A friend sent me an article today from MSNBC, and this is off topic, I realize. But it had to do with the excavation of quite possibly one of the oldest cities on Earth. At a time when archaeologists were quite certain that the only cities were in the early nation state of Uruk. Funny how that sounds like Iraq. That's because it's the same damn thing. The land between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. Well, as it turns out, to the north, there was another city. I have forgotten the name, I confess. But how do we know that this city existed? We know this city existed by virtue of the evidence of the attack on it. And see, that's the nature of civilization. Every time one rises up, there's always some heathen barbarian trying to tear it down. In this case, we get to be the heathen barbarians. There was a real, live, honest-to-God civilization in Iraq prior to March 2003. It happened to be headed by a brutal dictator who gassed his own people and has torture and rape rooms. Wait a minute, that's us too. But that's, you know, women walked freely on the streets dressed like women dress in much of the rest of the world. They didn't have to wear a beekeeper suit just to go out in public and only be able to look out from behind a gridded mask. Women in Iraq were doctors, lawyers, business owners. I knew an Iraqi woman here in West Virginia whose family had run a series of chemical concerns. No, not chemical weapons, you little lurking wingnuts. No can do. No can do. So from the dawn of, you know, from the dawn of time, every time a little bit of civilization has risen up, there has always, always, always been someone willing to tear it down. And, you know, this what a damn shame the United States had to join that list. Destroyer of civilization. Oh, what does it say in the Bhagavad Gita? Behold, I am become death, the destroyer of worlds. Isn't that what J. Robert Oppenheimer said when we exploded the first atomic bomb? Yeah, it was. Now, you know, while we're talking about dictatorships, you're familiar with Thomas, right? T-H-O-M-A-S? That's the legislative search engine for Congress. Have a run at Thomas. Look up the proposed Patriot Act rewrite. This is the one that the Senate stalled on for good reason. But go look at it. Look for Section 605. Here's the title. The Uniformed Division, United States Secret Service. A. There is hereby created and established a permanent police force to be known as the United States Secret Service Uniformed Division, subject to the supervision of the Secretary of Homeland Security. The United States Secret Service Uniformed Division shall perform such duties as the Director, United States Secret Service, may prescribe in connection with the protection of the following: 1. The White House. 2. Any building in which presidential offices are located. 3. The Treasury Building. 4. The President, the Vice President. 5. Foreign diplomatic missions. 6. The temporary official residence of the Vice President, yada yada. 7. Foreign diplomatic missions, because you remember, we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a year providing security for the Saudi embassy. Remember? Maybe you've forgotten. Good. You're reminded. Let's see, permanent mission 2, or blah, 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 foreign consular, visits of foreign government officials, foreign presidents and their spouses, an event designated under Section 3056E of Title 18 as a special event of national significance. Well, that's nice and broad, isn't it? A uniformed National Police Force. You ready for that, George Orwell fans? I've come to really look forward every night to Mike Malloy's reading of 1984. Brilliant idea. And I read this and I couldn't help thinking, you know, don't be too hard on George Orwell. Only the math was off. So he got it wrong by 20 years. I mean, if you count the original installation of Dear Leader into the White House, you'll notice I did not say election. Because he lost that election. You know that. We know that. Let's see, 84 to 04, 17 years. That's not bad math for a guy writing in the first half of the 20th century. Or early second half. Early third quarter. Whatever. You get the idea. Oh, this section 605 just goes on and on and on. 3056A, Powers, Authorities, and Duties of United States Secret Service Uniformed Division. Is there going to be a design contest for the uniforms? I'm thinking something in black. Nice, high black leather boots. Really, really big peaked lapels on the jackets. Maybe a nice red stripe down the pants leg. How about a colorful armband on the left arm? Or maybe, they gotta have a hat. How about a peaked hat? Maybe with a great big American eagle on it. And a narrow, shiny black visor. Man, wouldn't that look spiffy? We would have the coolest looking uniforms since the Third Reich. Oh, wait a minute. Let's see, there's a lot of gobbledygook in here. But what it boils down to is, under the direction of the Director of Secret Service, members of the United States Secret Service Uniform Division are authorized to carry firearms, make arrests. Here's the fun part, boys and girls. Make arrests without warrant for any offense against the United States committed in their presence, or for any felony cognizable under the laws of the United States if they have reasonable grounds to believe that the person to be arrested has committed or is committing such a felony. No warrant. Warrantless arrest. Bye. See ya. Send us a T-shirt from Gitmo. C. Perform such other functions and duties as are authorized by law. So, you know, if the Republican Congress passes a law that says the Uniform Division of the Secret Service can shoot old ladies in the street, this section says they can shoot old ladies in the street. Man, that's a heck of a law. There it is. Members of the United States Secret Service Uniform Division shall be furnished with uniforms and other necessary equipment. What other necessary equipment? Well, guns, tasers, lasers, phasers, razors. Pick one. Are you ready? Are you ready? My brother and sister citizens, are you ready for the National Secret Police? This is your yellow, coward, Republican Congress hard at work with your yellow, coward, Republican president. And if you're going to have this, why don't we go ahead and get rid of Posse Comitatus while we're at it? Why don't we just, what the hell, we'll bring in, look, labor history, here in the state of West Virginia, once upon a time, there were these things called Baldwin thugs or Baldwin Felts men Pinkerton men. They were hired by the mine owners to act as enforcers. They were thugs. They went around, they killed, they raped, they pillaged, they murdered miners who tried to stand up against the company and demand to be treated like human beings, okay? Well, eventually, the Baldwin thugs were outlawed. And because they were outlawed, well, you know what happened after that? Well, we can't have a bunch of outlawed thugs running around the state of West Virginia. We got to give them an honest job. Well, guess what honest job the Baldwin thugs got? They became the West Virginia State Police. That is no aspersion on current members of the state police, but that is the origin of the state police in the state of West Virginia. They were unrepentant, unreconstructed mine guard thugs. Now, you need yourself a uniform division of the Secret Service. Who you gonna call? And it ain't Ghostbusters. How about some fresh home from Iraq Blackwater mercenaries? They'd make nice uniform division Secret Service officers for the National Secret Police, wouldn't they? Uniformed Division Secret Service. The UD. Come on, you do the next initials. The UDSS. Can we give them belt buckles that say Got Mit Uns? This should scare the life out of anybody who cherishes the Constitution of the United States. Did you see that? Did you hear that? I'm sorry, it's radio. You couldn't see. I'm half whacked out of my mind on cold medicine, okay? Bear with me. No. That passage. Oh, that passage. Perform such other functions and duties as are authorized by law. And before that, make arrest without warrant for any offense against the United States committed in their presence. Now, before... that's no big deal. Any law enforcement officer in the United States is generally authorized to make an arrest without a warrant for any offense committed in their presence. They catch you committing a murder, they can arrest you on the spot for committing the murder. Don't have to waste time and go and get a warrant. Or any felony cognizable under the laws of the United States if they have reasonable grounds to believe that the person to be arrested is committed or is committing such a felony. That's a little different. Now, I don't know, what's his name, the weird-looking little bald Air Force general that runs or ran the NSA who got into the debate with the reporter about what the Fourth Amendment means? And, well, you know, if there's anything we know a lot about here at the NSA, it's the Fourth Amendment. And the standard is reasonableness, and probable cause has nothing to do with it. Now, how many times have we read the Fourth Amendment on this program? And no warrant shall issue except upon probable cause. And this clown who was running the domestic spying program says, there's nothing, but probable cause has nothing to do with it. This is that. Warrantless arrests based on mere speculation. See, that's the beautiful thing about probable cause. You got to go before someone in the judiciary system, even if it's just a low-level justice of the peace or a magistrate or somebody, you got to go before them and you got to at least make a case. It doesn't have to be open and shut, but you know, if they view everything that the officer says in the light most favorable to the officer, then they'll issue an arrest warrant and you go and you execute. But now, see, we're fighting terror. And when you're fighting terror, we got to be fast. We got to be flexible. And we can't be having no stupid little GD piece of paper like the Constitution getting in the way. You understand? Hear it again. Make arrest without warrant for any offense against the United States committed in their presence or for any felony cognizable under the laws of the United States if they have reasonable grounds to believe that the person to be arrested has committed or is committing such a felony. See, that is the embedded version of what the NSA was talking about. It's a reasonableness standard. No, hell no, it's not a reasonableness standard. It's based on probable cause. Did you see probable cause? Did you hear probable cause anywhere in that text? No, you didn't. if they have reasonable grounds to believe. Who determines what's reasonable? There's no reference to a U.S. magistrate here. There's no reference to a U.S. anything here. The reasonableness is determined by what the boss says to go do. This is a secret police force run by the White House. Remember Richard Nixon's enemies list? Anybody? He wanted them killed. Guess what? When you get a national police force, you can do it. You can just disappear them. It's La Greca Solo. Is that the name of the song by Sting? Based on, Argentina or Chile? They dance alone? This is that. The entire Western Hemisphere, with the exception of now Canada and the United States for the past several years, is moving left. We're moving to the right. We're moving to where Chile and Argentina have been. Are you comfortable with that? I'm not. And I'm, for the most part, I'm talking to liberals and progressives and Democrats, decent human beings. And I know you're not comfortable with that. Perform such other functions and duties as are authorized by law. Hey, what if we make a law that says that they get to be judge, jury, and executioner? Because after all, the Fourth Amendment says no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause. Probable cause isn't in this section. Heh-eh. So we can promulgate a law. This is, anybody seen that terrible, terrible, terrible Sylvester Stallone movie? Judge Dredd? I am the law. This is that. He had the groovy black uniform. This is what the House of Representatives, the Republican House of Representatives, has in store for you. My God in heaven. Did you ever think you would see the day?
No.
Even in the darkest days of that weird old freak Ronald Reagan, did you ever think you would see the day? Did you ever think you would... A national police force? I thought we had one of those. I thought that was the FBI. No, these are going to be uniformed, armed... Wow. You get it? This is what... Section 605. Look it up on Thomas. Thomas. Okay? Look it up. I'm not making this up. I couldn't make this up. If I went on the air and told you about something like this and didn't actually have the text of it in front of me, I would feel comfortable if you called me and told me I was crazy. But I'm not, and neither is this. This is the genuinely sought-after, desired boot under which the Bush administration dreams of grinding the last little bit of American freedom. The Uniform Division, Secret Service, the UDSS, black uniforms, jackboots, the works. My God.
You're going to get used to wearing them chains after a while. But you never stop listening to them clinking. Because they're going to remind you of what I've been saying. For your own good.
It's all for your own good, America. It's all for your own good. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. 1 minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. It's frustrating for me and for others on the left as we watched a slow and torturous decline of the United States, hoping against hope that we can somehow slow it or even reverse it, because unlike our counterparts on the right, we actually believe in the things this country is supposed to stand for. We believe in individual rights and freedoms, we believe in equality under the law, and that the law, and not any single person or small group of people, is where the ultimate authority lies. We don't believe in big government or small government. We believe only in the idea that the government has an important and necessary role to play in our everyday lives, and that it exists in balance with free enterprise and a free press. When government is run by people who also believe that, it works well for everyone. The Bush administration, the Republican leadership, and their financial backers don't see it that way, of course. Where we liberals try to build systems that counter the darker side of our nature and that we hope will serve our children and grandchildren as well as they serve us, they want to build systems that encourage that darker side and aren't concerned with the long-term consequences of their actions. It's no coincidence that every time the conservatives take the reins of power, they manage to screw up so badly. Every problem this country has faced in the last 5 years could have been dealt with by a competent government that understands what its role is. Instead, we have a government run by people who hate the very idea of government. I think the results speak for themselves. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Stay anymore. You said you're so alone since I
Me dying. That was the sneeze that didn't happen. We've moved into that phase now. Nothing. Yeah, well, it's nothing that two shots of Alka-Seltzer Plus and a A&W Chaser can't fix.
You can't take Alka-Seltzer Plus.
That's true.
And you know what? I may not feel good, but don't give me a hard time, because I'll bust you.
I don't know if she meant me or trolls or me. That was aimed at me. I'm half insane with cold medicine, but I am still Bob Kincaid, I think, and this is still Head On. You're welcome to help out. Call me in 87. Call in. Help me out. Call in. See what's going on here? 877, the number 4, Head On. Damn, I think I better write the phone number down tonight. 877, the number 4, Head On. 877-443-2366.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's completely okay, dear. I understand. From Human Events Online. Oh, brother. Now, we talked, I think it was Monday night, we talked a little bit about how absolutely, patently, utterly, completely ridiculous and stupid this entire Iran is going to nuke us day after tomorrow thing is. Right? We did. But, I mean, that's not me hallucinating from the medicine, right? We did that. And we kind of agreed that the whole Iran's going to nuke us tomorrow thing smells an awful lot like... I have been told that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction which he can launch in 45 minutes, if not row over across the Atlantic, the Mediterranean, the Atlantic Ocean, in his little blow up rubber seahorse, and deliver it and blow up the United States in 45 minutes. No, it's the same crap, different day. Okay. Well, here it is. Human Events Online headline: Gingrich calls for regime change in Iran. And, you know, I don't mean to sound like a broken record. Honest to God, I don't. But I get so sick of these murderous right-wing freaks making arguments to go and do regime change. It's not regime change. Newt. It's a damn war. It's blood and death and pieces of bodies flying all over the place, or perhaps merely incinerated on the spot. You monster, Newt Gingrich, you. And then, of course, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, this is the best part, a potential 2008 Republican presidential candidate. Are we kidding? This is a joke, right? Potential 2008 Republican presidential candidate? Oh, God, let it be so. Let it be so. Let this freak run. Let's go to Katie. Hey, Katie, you're Head On.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Good. See, I just wanted to say that I think the brainwashing in this country has really gone far.
if we think it's okay for us to have to pay for a veteran center for these veterans to get treatment when they come back.
Well, that kind of got to me, too.
I'm like, no, we have to make a fuss and say, this is not for us to do. As long as my tax dollars are going for the war, I really want my tax dollars to go to help people when they come back.
Well, we kind of owe it to them, don't we?
We do. I can't, you know, I've always said that I thought it was ridiculous that anybody's in the Army has to have food stamps.
Well, isn't that the truth?
And it's a shame. And it's a shame what we're doing to them when they have given everything.
Well, the fact of the matter is, this is, like I said, this is just further proof of the fact that they want to break everything they touch. It's not that they're bad luck and, you know, they just, you know, these things just happen to them. They intentionally break these things.
Oh, sure.
I mean, this is I laud the kind and generous spirit behind this incentive, but what am I looking for here? This is like some sort of weird validation of George Bush 1,000 points of light.
Exactly. And, you know, if we push that private, then everything's going to go to their little religious organizations. I can't think of the word that they want to use for it.
Non-governmental, faith-based.
Yes, the faith-based stuff. You know, and the more they do that, the more it'll get out of the hands of government. I'm not for big government, but there are certain things that they have to handle. And I think things like social services and taking care of the veterans is a main thing that they should be doing.
Well, we've given them an opportunity to show that there's a better way to do it. They've tried. They've failed.
Exactly.
You know, going all the way back to the Reagan administration with that that charade of mainstreaming the mentally ill,
mm-hmm.
where we closed all the state hospitals, we turned the mentally ill out into the streets and said, well, you're all better now.
Exactly.
And it was done, Katie, on the principle that, you know, we're going to make these people feel better about themselves. But it was just a cheap charade to destroy that system, take the money away and give it, you know, it's the same old trick. Give it to the rich.
Yep. Exactly.
Well, I'm glad that nerve was struck with you.
Yeah, I was just appalled. I'm like, you know, I'm not giving them a dime. I'm just not doing it.
Well, it's the same principle that's behind, you know, right after the Sago Mine disaster, when they came out and said, you know, we've set aside $1 million for a trust fund for the miners. You know, give to it.
Yeah, it's their job. How many millions are they making off the backs of these people?
Well, exactly. I was listening today. I think that Sago disaster fund that was set up by International Coal Group, they started it out with $2 million, and they've reached $3 million now.
Oh, my gosh.
When it's the coal company's fault, it's the coal company's burden, it's the coal company's debt. And they're getting people who are otherwise well-meaning, you know, open your heart, you know, shirt off your back. You know, that's the way we are, especially the poor and the middle class.
Exactly. And how much of that money came from other miners' families?
Exactly. You know, I'm sure.
People who cannot afford it.
Right. And now it's people who can't afford it are gonna give to this hospital fund.
Yep, exactly.
And I agree with Jim's sentiment that it's something that these services have got to be rendered.
Mm-hmm.
But we on the other hand, it's our job to make sure that our government renders them. It was done in the name of our government. It was done in our name.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't done in the name of individual donors. And what's more, it's going to be turned over to the veteran. If I understand correctly, it's going to be turned over to the VA anyway.
Mm-hmm. And then what will happen to it?
Well, then it'll be underfunded, and it will eventually be gutted and closed.
Exactly. Or the money will disappear.
I mean, it'll disappear. No, I kind of trust that they'll actually do something with it, because there is a closed mental health facility in Central Texas. And this is going to take the place of that.
Shameful.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be hard-hearted. I'm not some sort of mean liberal.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I totally agree with you, though.
Well, Katie, thank you so much for bringing that up.
Hey,
I do appreciate
thing,
it. Yeah, go
one
right
thing
ahead.
I want to say to Jim.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what your orientation is. If you're caught having sex in a bathroom, you're up for grabs as far as humor is concerned.
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Katie, thanks.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Take
Have
care.
A
Have a great night. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now. Oh, let's see. Well, yeah, let's take a quick break. I'm sorry, I need him tonight. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Crime Dog here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time. You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating. Just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Welcome back. Quick email. Not 12 minutes before the hour. Dear Bob, let me just say I love your show. Thanks. I just wanted to ask if the Uniformed Secret Service doesn't already exist. It was the Secret Service that was here in West Virginia at John Slack Park protecting John Kerry when he came to speak. I saw the Secret Service patch on his shirt as he passed the metal detector wand over me as I waited to get into the Labor Day rally. Oh, and by the way, I was wearing an anti-Bush shirt. Save the forest, plant a bush back in Texas, is what it said. And the Secret Service guy stated, please turn around, ma'am. I love your shirt. You didn't hear that. They wore white shirts and dark pants, I believe. There is probably already a secret police that wear the black uniforms and boots and go around doing the president's bidding. At any rate, please keep up the dispensing of truth and critical thinking to America and beyond on your program. We love it. Thanks, Andrea. No, Andrea. Thank you. Really, seriously, thank you. And yeah, I was at that rally. We were at that rally. And we saw them. But the thing is, I don't think that would those were regular Secret Service types. The dark pants and the white T-shirts. Those were sort of, you know, their BDUs, if you will, or their, you know, their casual stuff. We're talking about here about the creation of an entirely separate branch. You know, separate training, separate classification, separate MOS. Yes, dear.
Even the state troopers at the rally this summer, because, you know, it was ungodly hot. We all went through. I ended up without, I was in a dress and a hat and shoes and ended up without the hat and without the shoes going and chasing down state troopers for water. So they were all pretty
dear, I think you're time traveling.
No.
Yeah, you're time traveling. That was two summers ago. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. No, I mean, what's with the...
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's okay, but I just wanted to, yeah.
Stay away from Vic's cold medicine.
We're neither of us in any good shape at all, for God's sakes. Getting back real quick to Newt Gingrich. If we don't have a very serious systematic program to replace the government of Iran, we're going to live in an unbelievably dangerous world. You dipstick. Nah, you don't. Nah, I didn't say. You don't have to push the button, Agnes. Newt Gingrich, you dipstick. We already live in an incredibly dangerous world, and it was made incredibly dangerous by the likes of you and your ugly little Republican president. Gingrich referenced the two former British prime ministers, Stanley Baldwin and Winston Churchill, who disagreed about Hitler's intentions. If a liberal or if a progressive says anything about Hitler in regard to George Bush, my God, you can hear the screaming from a mile away. They, on the other hand, Rick Santorum stands in the well of the Senate and calls Democrats Hitler. Not Nazis. Hitler. And it happens all the time. And here's Newt Gingrich saying that Iran is the most dangerous regime since Hitler. And it, maybe the Hitler references are overdone. But daggum if it washed like a duck and it quacks like a duck. Has Newt forgotten that his boy George just sort of stood by and watched while the North Koreans developed atomic weapons? Guess so. And I'll just say flatly, our objective should be the systematic replacement of this regime. We should start with all-out help to the forces of independence in the country. There are trade union groups. Oh, my God. That is, I guarantee you, the first time Newt Gingrich has ever said anything positive about a trade union. Suddenly Newt Gingrich's pro-labor? Well, only if it's Iranian labor. Then again, he's pro-Indian labor and Chinese labor and Myanmarese labor and any labor that's not American labor. After all, he's part and parcel of why... We don't have any American textile jobs anymore. We don't have any American shoemaking jobs anymore. We don't have any American... What do we still make here? Socks? No socks. There are student groups. We should, in every way we can, get them resources. We should indicate without any question that we are going to take the steps necessary to replace the regime, and we should then act... This guy wants a nuclear freaking war, because that's the only war we can wage with Iran at this point. And it's not like he's going to sit passively by while, Israel does it. Oh, and by the way, while we're at it, where is it? Dateline New Delhi, a landmark nuclear deal between India and the United States will, quote, die, unquote, in Washington if New Delhi supports Iran at the upcoming meeting of the UN Atomic Watchdog Agency, the U.S. ambassador said Wednesday. I guess it's one of those international dateline things. A week before the International Atomic Energy Agency meets to discuss Iran's nuclear program, U.S. Ambassador David Mulford said that if India does not vote to refer Tehran to the U.N. Security Council, it would be devastating to the deal currently before the U.S. Congress. So this is American foreign policy now? Blackmail? We're doing blackmail now? Republican doofuses, go ahead, screw the deal with India. Let them get it from the Russians. The Russians are already cozied up with the Iranians. They're cozied up. Well, never mind. Let's just alienate the whole damned world. Wait a minute, we did that already. Let's just make the whole world take all our jobs. No, did that too. Let's just take out the Service 45 and pump a few rounds into our own feet. That's what I'm running. Do you? God bless America. These clowns are out to utterly destroy us. And I ain't talking about the Indians. Dot, not feather. Newt Gingrich wants a nuclear war with Iran. Is Newt Gingrich the is he the Goldwater for the 21st century? You know, in your heart you know he's right, but in your guts you know he's nuts. Is that what this is? How are they going to pull this off without a draft? Sorry, dumb question. Nuclear war. Battlefield. Did you remember reading the headlines about this a couple of years ago? Tactical battlefield nuclear weapons and how George wants to develop a whole boatload of them? You know, little nuclear grenades that soldiers can throw 30 or 40 feet. God. I really just want to cut loose and scream sometimes. How damned dumb are these Republicans? Past crazy, dumb. I mean, we're not talking, you know, we're not talking drive slow on the driveway dumb either. We're going to blackmail India into referring Iran to the Security Council. Or else we're not. My eyes are beginning to roll back in my head. They're getting to the. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. You know, so you got all that, and then, you know, happy little headline, jury orders reprimand, no jail for soldier. A military jury recommended a simple reprimand Monday for an army officer who killed an Iraqi general by stuffing him headfirst into a sleeping bag and sitting on his chest during an interrogation. We're batting a million here, aren't we? Let's all stand up and sing, or not. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Latham is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention's Executive Committee. Okay. He was arrested and charged with offering to engage in an act of lewdness.
What?
Hey, 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 hey. based on that one charge, I'm thinking he didn't offer to hire a prostitute. It sounded like to me that he was just like coming on to the guy.
Well,
maybe saying to him that he would give him a free something or another.
Well, I want to know if George Michael was in there for the meeting.
Join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday night for Fourth Estate Radio. Get the details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
So if you believe in that God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll supposedly say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have all of this injustice in society, and why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Welcome back. Refreshing little break. I couldn't stand to just mail it in and run another rerun tonight. I drive myself crazy enough with grief missing one night. Two was just too much. I know, Agnes. Apparently, a nerve has been struck. Our good friend David near Nashville, in Nashville, writes and says, with regard to the what he calls the VA donation scam. So let me get this straight. One can donate for a VA facility and the money goes to the VA? Right. Not a third-party group that would be transparent. A small equation. And we all know I get in trouble when we start playing with the mathematics, but I think even I can follow this. A small equation. This year's VA budget is X. Donations is D. Next year's VA budget is Y. Y, next year's VA budget equals this year's VA budget X minus the donations D. David notes, it is the rethug way to never let a budget grow so as to benefit a regular citizen. Anything given to that fund will be just like the drug benefit that cut the little old lady's food stamps. I'll be damned. Yep. That's exactly it. You remember that story, right? The White House's own numbers that said a little old lady making $700 and some odd a month on Social Security once the Medicare, and she was getting $27 a month in food stamps, and once the Medicare prescription drug benefit kicked in, her food stamps got cut from $27 to $11 because she had the Medicare drug benefit and therefore had all that extra money to throw around on food? Yeah. This just makes me nuts. I mean, again, I guess I'm getting grinchly. But the more I think about this, I think Katie's right. I think David's right. This is a con being run on the backs of the people of the United States. And we're not talking about the Lark's Vomit canapé crowd. We're not talking about the champagne and caviar bunch. We're talking about people giving nickels and dimes and $5 here and $10 there. Of course, then again, here, let's run the cynicism all the way out to the end of the rope. Every dollar an American gives to do something that the VA ought to be doing in the first daggum place. Well, that's another dollar a Democrat can't give to get rid of these god-awful Republicans. Let's go to the phones. Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I've been better.
Well, I don't know if you could tell, but I ain't too good a shape myself.
Am I talking to Wayne or am I talking to the Godfather?
I don't know, man. It's, well.
Yeah, it was only business.
Huh?
It was only business.
Right. Nothing personal. Nothing personal. Well, you know, man, I don't know. I could probably get a job with this administration.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is the voiceover of, well.
Well, what, I mean, somebody says if you want to understand this administration, go rent The Godfather 1 and 2.
Yeah, that's Randy Rhoads, isn't it?
Yes. And this VA thing, I mean, my God, for it to have to ask and beg for, how many billions of dollars are we spending every month?
Five.
On this war, how much are we giving to Halliburton, you know, to poison our kids with water and food and the American people have to scrape and you know, ask for donations to build a hospital to take care of these kids.
Well, yeah, and don't forget, you know, while we're at it, we're begging and taking donations to help with Katrina, because they screwed up FEMA too.
Well, exactly, and I was reading something. I guess they want to give the oil companies a lot of that work down there for Katrina, you know, to make them even richer. I guess, you know, with all the oil tanks and stuff, there were huge spills.
Yeah.
In the wetlands and all that stuff. You know, I don't know if you saw that. It was in the Boston. I don't know, what is that? Boston Globe? Yeah, I guess it's the Boston Globe.
Yeah.
This new Medicare or Medicaid, whatever it is that, you know, they lied and cheated to get through Congress and all that stuff.
Yeah, the big con.
And the thing that I've always been screamed about, how all these so-called conservatives don't get upset over the deal where, even though you're going to be buying billions of dollars worth of drugs, you're not allowed to try to get a deal with the drug companies.
Yeah, you can't pull a Walmart on them and get that bulk buying volume discount.
Right. Well, they had a comparison in the Globe. It was the 31st of December. Now, the VA does, in fact, buy, you know, get a discount for bulk
right
buying. And, you know, I might have brought this up before, but it bears repeating. Talks about the cost for Protonix or something.
Protonix,
I don't know. It's for ulcers.
Yeah, Protonix.
Right. Okay, Protex. The cost to the VA, who gets to get a discount for a year supply, is $253. But the seniors in the Bush Medicare program, which prohibits such bulk discounts, pay a sticker price of $1,080. They go on to say that'll give you an ulcer.
Yes.
A year of Zocor cholesterol-reducing drug costs the VA $251. Seniors in the Bush drug plan will get whacked $1,323.
God almighty.
Yes. Well, how come that doesn't upset people? Well, I mean, there's enough people upset, but
I'll tell you who it doesn't upset. It doesn't upset the Republican Congress. It doesn't upset the drug manufacturers. You know, after all, if our seniors got the same benefits that the VA got, well, you know, heavens to Betsy, GlaxoSmithKline, whatever would, well, they'd have to go out of business because, you know, obviously they're running their business on the seniors' backs.
Right. Well, And you know, had we had this drug discount, maybe that original price that they came up with, what was it? I mean, everybody, the big uproar was that if it was over $400 billion, they wouldn't pass it.
Right.
And, you know, so they told everybody, well, it's only going to cost $389, you know, or something. I'm sorry, my voice went like that.
No, that was one of your better moments.
Okay. I don't know who I sounded like, but certainly that wasn't Godfather-ish.
Well, no, that 60-year-old puberty is just hell, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But
well, I just got a link, and because my mouse is acting up, I can't open the doggone thing. Medicare drug bill tied to Abramoff.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, you know, bless my soul.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Hey, Sergeant Carter.
Well,
jeez.
I didn't, I should have never called, I guess, with this voice going on here, but.
No, this is beautiful stuff, Wayne.
Yeah.
Listen, but you give your voice a rest. Go, you know, do some honey and lemon and, you know, hot bourbon or something.
Oh, hey, I wanted to tell you, man, I'm sure you had something to do with it. I got a very nice call from Brother David in Tennessee congratulating me on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, wonderful.
Made my day. Made my day, man. So.
Well, he's listening, so he knows.
Well, very good.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, man, have a good one.
Later.
Bye.
Take care. Really, take care. And I'm not kidding about the honey and the lemon and the hot bourbon either, for that matter. stuff works. Let's see, to Fritz in New Mexico. Hey, Fritz, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, I want to ask how you're feeling because I can tell.
Yeah, well, you know, I used to promise people that I would never do radio under the influence of drugs, and I think I've broken my vow.
Yeah, well, that's okay. We'll forgive you.
Okay.
I was just listening to Leahy, thank God. I heard somebody who's done some sense, and he just said on C-SPAN, the central question, therefore, is whether Judge Alito will serve as an effective constitutional check on the presidency. Good for you, Patrick. It's exactly the central question.
It is. And I'm proud to see him standing up, too.
Yeah, so was I. And I tried calling Landrieu's number to give her another bit of my mind, but her mailbox is full. So I think there's probably been I'm hoping that there's probably been an effective barrage.
I got to bust your bubble, Fritz.
Yeah?
I talked to the young man in Senator Landrieu's office.
Yeah.
Those calls are all right wing nuts telling him that telling Senator Landrieu that Alito is Jesus's best friend.
Oh, great, great.
So don't give up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things I said to the young and a fine fella too, great guy to talk to. I said, look, don't let the senator be hoodooed by all this. You know, they're only, this is what I told them. They're doing this the way that the Brent Bozell people are responsible for 99.9% of the FCC complaints. These are just people following marching orders who
That's
have...
exactly what they are. They're the automatons.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got a whole army of these freaking automatons, Bob. It's disgusting. Now, it absolutely makes me sick about what goes on in this society. You know, and I still have hope for Collins and Snow who haven't voted, but I don't know about them either. You know, I don't know if any Republicans are going to break rank here. I think they're all going to behave like automatons, I'm sorry to say.
Well, I've got I go to Raw Story from time to time, Fritz. There's some fine folks, and I've got a headline here from them that says, Democrats break silence on Alito, filibuster unlikely, frustration high.
Yeah.
Well, I can't tolerate that.
I know. It's making me sick, Bob. It really is. You know what? Maybe and I got to tell you, this the one moment for me this afternoon that defined my frustration is I was at work and I was listening to Randy Rhodes on my headphones, and she interviewed Jonathan Turley, you know, the constitutional scholar from Georgetown who was at Conyers hearings.
Right.
And, you know, he just said, I see one of the central problems here, and he said, obviously I'm not a Democrat, but essentially he said that I see Democratic senators, acting out of concern for their reelection, you know, not willing to stand up and form a unified bloc, no leadership. You know, and he hit it right on the head. You know, where the hell's
the politics of terror, Fritz.
I know. You know, way back when Harry Reid became minority leader, I remember saying, oh, my God, what are we going to do now? This guy is, you know, this guy is so centrist, it's ridiculous. I don't think there's effective leadership.
I called his office again today.
Yeah. Well, he voted no, but big deal.
Well, and that's what I've been telling all of them all along. Look, I don't care about your no vote.
Right. It's are you going to vote no on cloture?
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what? You'd be surprised the reaction you get, because just using that word, Fritz, just using that word blows their little minds. We're not supposed to know what that word means. We're supposed to blindly go along and say, oh, well, as long as they voted no, you know.
Right.
At
Hosanna.
You know, at least, no, and this is one of those phrases that I hate, at least we tried.
Yeah, bullshit. You did not.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. Sorry.
That's okay.
About language.
That's
you
okay.
Did not try.
Yeah, we'll slide you one. Let's go on this one. I'm tired of it. I'm sick to death of it,
oh,
Fritz.
Oh, me too, Bob.
This idea that we're supposed to be stupid.
Well, we are. We're supposed to be stupid. I mean, how the hell could this have happened? How could Orwellian Bush world have happened if we weren't stupid? And I think they must assume that. I don't know. It's insane.
You know, I've called Dick Durbin's office, I try to come up with a different line every phone call. I used to do telemarketing. It's got to stay fresh or you'll never make the sale.
Yeah, when I called, what's his name? Oh, God, I can't even think. When I called Obama, I used my fellow alum status. You know, I laid it on thick,
Yeah.
I said, And, you know, I don't know if it was effective. I think he'll probably vote no, but he won't want to vote for cloture either. You know, vote against cloture either.
Well, you know, in Colin Durbin's office, I said, you know, and I've told him. I tell him who I am. I tell him what we do. I tell him, you know, that I have a cadre of people that I hear from that are uniformly opposed to this man even getting the so-called up or down vote. And I told Dick Durbin's office, I said, look, you know, you're in a position of some power. Tell these Democrats that you will bust them down to buck senator, and they'll be lucky to sit on the stream littering committee. As far as you're concerned,
what'd you get for a response
from them? I got, you know, I got a little hosanna. You know, God, it's nice to hear from somebody saying what you're saying.
Oh God, well,
I mean, these people are being Sunday Justice Sundayed out the yin yang.
They are, yeah, they are. And you know, it's not, you know, I guess it's not that I'm naive and didn't think that was happening. It's just, you know, hope against hope that we could mobilize more, but I guess we can't. You know, I guess it's impossible because they got the automatons.
But
the elements of this falling into place, Bob. You see all of Orwell's elements falling into place.
Yeah, but I got an idea here, and this is something else I floated, Fritz. And you know, you're a considered thinker. Tell me what you think. If I floated this one today, if we filibuster. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if you'll just play a little, if these people will just play a little bit of cotton picking chess.
Yeah, exactly.
If we filibuster and they go nuclear.
Yeah.
Okay. One, they don't have the guts to do it right now because they're too weak. But
I think they're too worried about their butts.
But no, I mean, the Republicans are too weak right now in the Senate and in the House and in the White House.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If we filibuster, they go nuclear, and then we follow by shutting down the Senate. Just offhand, do you know what has to go down by February 3rd?
No, I'm not sure.
By February 3rd, the Senate must pass a Patriot Act.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, of course. It just went out of my mind. Yes,
but I mean that's what I'm getting
at. It expires.
So we shut the Senate down. Patriot Act dies.
No, absolutely. We have a Trump card.
Yeah. I mean, you know, are you more which you know, this is about national security, for God's sakes. Which are you more committed to, this freak judge or the Patriot Act?
Yeah, that's it. Lay it on them. I mean, why can't they freaking play that card? I don't understand this. You know, and it's exactly what Turley said. There's nobody with a spine, apparently. You got to have a spine to do that, Bob. I'm sorry. You got to have a spine to bluff at poker or to play that kind of chess, you know, to play that kind of aggressive game.
Well, it galls me to no end to think that we don't. You know, I called Ken Salazar's office.
Yeah, and
and they're like, well, he's
about him too.
Yeah, he's going to vote no.
Yeah, bud.
Yeah, and I find, you know, and with all these people, when they try to play that card, I say, look, that, you know, I don't play that. Don't tell me about the no vote. Tell me about the cloture vote.
Right.
And that, well, you know, that's certain. That's up in the air right now.
Yeah, that's what I figured you'd get on that card. Yeah.
It's tough. You know, Biden's office. That was like calling the credit card company.
God, Biden and Lieberman. I put Biden in the same class with Lieberman. I'm sorry, that may be too harsh, but I don't think it's that harsh.
You know, I was ashamed of myself calling Lieberman's office because I started out with, well, I guess I'm wasting my breath, but.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been my lead in too, Bob. I'm sorry.
You know, I get up this morning. I'm having a bagel. I turn on CNN, and there's Joe Lieberman. You know, And what's he doing? He's making excuses. This time he's making his excuses, Fritz, saying that, you know, they're talking about the fact that the president was warned by FEMA about Katrina, blah, 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 blah. And Lieberman saying, well, obviously someone stopped that email and didn't let it get to the president.
Oh, yeah,
his
obviously.
Staff is not serving George Bush.
God, I mean, you know, but that's what Joe is an apologist. That's what he does in life. That's what he does.
God,
I just want to throw in one more thing before.
Oh yeah, go right ahead.
Just, you know, I'm sorry I got you off topic.
No, you didn't. Please, this had to be done.
Okay, two more things actually. One thing, people, if you wanna donate to vets, go to IAVA.org, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans. I forget what the A stands for again.
Well, will it redirect? If you go to optruth.org, will it still redirect you?
Yeah, well, it does. It gives you a page that allows you to click on IAVA.org.
Okay.
So you can go to optruth.org, and there's a big donate on the upper nav. You know, donate there. Because the money, you know, they know what to do with the money for veterans.
Yeah.
That's, so if you need to give money, give it there. And, you know, don't let them rip you off like they're doing in terms of your initial discussion with Wayne.
Precisely.
The other thing is, I'm driving to the west of my fair city of Santa Fe here, and what do I pass? This gigantic 18-wheeler with these three large inverted oblong drums on them with a radioactive symbol on them. Now, you tell me what you think was in those things, Bob. Was in those large drums with the radioactive symbol on them.
Depleted uranium?
That's one of the things in there, yeah. And, in fact, some waste plutonium and some other shit. Sorry about that again.
That's okay. Only
and
for
it's
you,
Fritz. It's going down to Carlsbad, New Mexico. And, you know, talk about terrorism. Where's the protection? Where's the protection? Any terrorist who wants to smear that crap all over Albuquerque, New Mexico, and kill 800,000 people can do it. You tell me, where's the freaking anti-terrorism there?
Yeah, let me guess. One guy in the cab of the truck.
That's it. That's all, Bob.
Holy cow.
As far as I could tell.
Holy Moses.
You know, empty rhetoric by these people again. You know, yeah, just by...
Well, God forbid, I mean, screw the terrorist, Fritz. A slick road, a blown-out tire.
Yeah, it doesn't take anything. Doesn't take anything.
If the American people knew half of... If the American people knew a 20th of what's going on in this nation, Fritz.
Right, if they could think, too, Bob. You know, if they wanted to know. You got to want to know first. That's our problem, isn't it?
Yeah, because we don't want to.
Yeah.
No, we
want to watch. We want to watch Desperate Housewives or whatever else that crap is that they watch. You know.
I know. I know.
Yeah. Well.
Fritz, thanks so much.
Good luck to Pittsburgh. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Exactly. Hey, you know what? That's cool. They're going to wear their road whites, and there's like hella popping all over Pittsburgh over that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm one of those. You know, I'm an old sports fan. I'm a baseball fan. Rule one: don't screw with a streak.
Absolutely.
Yeah, wear the whites.
I think they're going to do it.
I think they will, too. I really do. Have yourself a great night, Fritz.
You too. I hope you feel better.
I appreciate it. Bye now. Okay, bottom of the hour break. God, I love conversation radio. That made me feel better. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
God, and if you believe in those spiritual tenets, as 80% of these people that I just read in this poll supposedly say they believe in them, you know, is that fantasy world, or is that real world? I mean, if they really believe in those tenets, if they really believe in that religion, if they really believe in that Christ, then why do we have a war going on? And why do we have people starving? And why do we have people homeless? And why do we have, you know, all of this injustice in society? And why are African Americans killed at three times the rate of white Americans in our prisons in execution chairs? I'll tell you why. Because we have a long way to go to make this society an equitable one. We have a long way to go to create the kind of society that our spiritual principles tell us we need to have. Hey, this is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me each and every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern for All Things Reconsidered, the weekly program that takes a progressive look at the week in politics. For connection information and archives of all of my shows, point your browser to allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthingsreconsidered.org.
Speaking of thievery,
yes.
Just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right?
Yes.
He died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, I just thought it was so...
Oh, my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway...
Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Head on. He's back.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember him. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no oxycontin. Just a nightly confrontation with the facts. The issues of the day. Head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head on.
I tried to make it Sunday, but I got so damn depressed that I set my sights on Monday, and I got myself undressed. I ain't ready for the altar, but I do agree there's times when a woman sure can be a friend of mine. Will I keep on thinking about you, sister, golden hair surprise, and I just can't live without you. Can't you see it in my eyes? I've been one poor correspondent. I've been too hard to find, but it doesn't mean you ain't been on my mind. Will you?
Thanks for sticking around. We're going to get to the bottom of this show or die trying. thanks for putting up with us this evening. Honest to God, Agnes feels more rotten than I do.
No, I just look more rotten.
Nah, you're always beautiful. You know, don't make me reach over there and play You Light Up My Life, okay?
Oh.
quick email, again, from our friend David in Nashville, with regard to what we're doing to ourselves, echoing some of what Fritz mentioned. Wars all over the place, a ruined army, bazillions down a sandy rat hole, domestic madness making sure America lives a Christian lifestyle. Just a few of the key facets of Bushmurica. That's Bushmurica with three Ks. So wasn't it the old USSR that spent itself into freaking oblivion, chasing ill-chosen military pursuits? Think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we are doing it to ourselves. Doing it to ourselves so a boogeyman can be trotted out for the mouth-breathing faithful to have a new them. Bright future, huh? Says David. Yeah, future's so bright, I gotta wear shades. You know, trotting out that new boogeyman. Do yourself a favor. When's he doing it? Is it like 20 till or 10 till midnight Eastern that Mike Malloy is doing the reading from 1984? Get in there and hear about the evil Goldstein. Just change his name to Osama, and, you know, you've got the story. Again, you know, it's a classic, you know, whether it's Catch-22 or any number, you know, Dr. Strangelove. These neocon weirdos have read books that were supposed to be cautionary tales and seen movies that were supposed to be dark comedies about our nastier sides, and they think that they're freaking policy manuals, and it's the same with 1984. David is, in fact, with us. Hey, David. Your head on.
Well, good evening, Bob.
How are you?
So, I sent an email about how we were spinning ourselves into oblivion. Did that just get read?
Yes, it did.
Oh, well, goody. And I mean every word of that, because we're doing it to ourselves. You know, we love to chuckle about how stupid the Russians were, that they spent themselves out of business, or the Soviet Union spent itself out of business, chasing Ronald Reagan's Star Wars. We don't even have a target. We're picking them out of the air, for God's sake. Well, let's see. We did such a great job with Iraq, and, well, golly, all the knuckle-draggers bought that one. We got to have a boogeyman. We've got an election coming up.
We need us a creature.
Honey, we got, he needs us. He's got to fight Iran now, honey. We need him for a third term, don't you think? It's all part of a big scam. It's either a third term or a mini George. He's going to run some midget.
I shall call him Mini Bush.
Exactly.
God.
And the budget will be $1 million. It's just so incredibly easy to see through it. Where I work, this very nice man, hardworking guy, owns his own business, and he buys it hook, line, and sinker. He buys it hook, line, and sinker. He's disturbed because he's got a 16-year-old son, and I legitimately planted the fear of draft in him. But he looked me right in the face and said, "But George is a good man because he wants to stop murdering children all across America. So I have to vote for him." And there is our.
And your little and your head didn't just go and explode right on the spot.
I think I started talking about football. I knew it was useless. I knew it was whatever, or maybe I just, you know. Maybe I started talking to him about Anton LaVey just to make sure he'd leave me alone and never talk to me. Something, one or the other. And if that's not bad enough,
and you don't, you know, you don't want to dislike these people.
No, if there are 10 people on an interstate driving past a stranger with a flat tire, this man that thinks George is a moral, God-fearing, God-ordained man that prevents the murder of unborn children, and that's his greatest gift to the world. He, out of those 10 people on a rainy day on a on an interstate, he'll be the guy that stops to help a stranger with a flat. I guarantee it. And that's part of the ugliness of what the Bushes and the Rolls.
Well, his fundamental goodness has been co-opted, David.
He's been conned. He's one of those, what was that phrase that somebody said, all we got to do is push the right button and the goofballs, the wackos.
Oh, the religious wackos?
The religious wackos. You know, it's Pavlovian. All they've got to do is put up a new boogeyman, remind them that babies have fingerprints when they're in the second trimester, and bang. They hit the streets, hit the phone, hit the fax machine.
You know, but I had that fundamentalist Southern Baptist upbringing, David. And I remember, and I forget where it is in the New Testament, but there's some line about, and lo, the Lord did not give us a spirit of fear. You ever heard that?
No.
Well,
again, you're a greater student of the Bible than I.
Well, but the Republicans have taken all of these otherwise earnest people who would gladly spend their days planning dinners on the ground and visiting shut-ins, and rather than enforcing that the Lord did not give us a spirit of fear, what do we get out of it? They have taken all these otherwise decent, innocuous people, and they have turned them into terror-crazed zealots.
Well, but by dovetailing their agenda into the natural concern about change. Bob, I'm old enough to remember when a divorced woman lost friends, no matter what had caused the divorce.
Getting the daylight swamped out of her, that kind of thing, yeah.
It could be that. He could have been a womanizer. That would have been blamed on her. He could have been anything. But a divorce would cost a woman approximately one-third of her group of friends. Because, she's...
yeah, got to go change churches and everything.
Probably.
Assuming they'll let you into the new one because, you know, she's a divorcee.
Exactly. So I've watched those things be dealt with, learned about, not feared, accepted as a normal part of life. And there's a time period when people need those days or months or years to process that information. Some people never process it. Others process it much more quickly. Well, you've got various things. You know, you were talking about this, the posse comitatus may be attacked.
Yeah.
Got this thing about the brown shirts being recreated in America. And I can remember hunting with guys that were very much the fellas that worked a job here and there, but lived off the land some, did some farming, and then probably made some whiskey on the side. There was only one place in America where you had judge, jury, and executioner all in one interesting thing, and that was typically a national park ranger. And I can remember these guys, these throwback mountain men, hated the idea that that was all in one place because it was American to them. And they would say, my great-granddaddy shot deer in August. I'm going to shoot deer in August. My great-granddaddy, you know, shot hogs in the summertime. I'm going to shoot a wild boar in the summertime. And if I get a shot at 25 quail, I'm going to shoot 25 quail. They didn't like the idea that they could be arrested, lose property, all the rest of it, to a national park ranger because some of these guys lived on farms that their families had held that butted up against the Great Smoky Mountain. Well, national park rangers have a lot more power. They were irate that they couldn't do something about that guy. Well, now we're going to have that guy coast to coast in a little black shirt with a narrow tie and who knows what else. But, you know, I thought immediately of disruptors.
Yeah.
When those Blackwater guys come home, Fred, that's a disruptor. George don't like disruptors. Your papers, please.
Your papers are not in order.
Get in the back of the car. But all I was doing was yelling.
Get in the back of the car.
Exactly.
Sir.
That's exactly right. And just to make it worse, now we've got Rumsfeld saying his own Pentagon's report that the Army is broken is out of date, doesn't matter.
Out of context, out of touch.
Yeah, shouldn't have been leaked, and we're gonna nut the leaker. So, yeah, I understand that part.
Yeah, because the leaker is the problem, not the broken military.
Exactly. Yeah, I like that.
I love these guys. With an informed electorate, David, these guys would be the best thing that ever happened to the Democratic Party.
It could be, it should be now, but we are sitting. We're not even standing, let alone fighting. We're not even standing.
Just watching, thanks.
Yeah, oh, just, you know, waiting for it to blow on by so we can be elected as a moderate, thank you. Would you like one lump or two?
You know, when America was on the verge of grim death after Coolidge and Hoover and Harding, when America was on the verge of grim death, was America, David, was America saved by moderates?
Were they saved by what?
Moderates.
No, absolutely not.
Liberals.
Liberal. Populist, they were called at that time in some cases.
Well, we're going to have to do it again, but we've got to learn to stand up together. Well, never mind.
Well, we've got so many layers to fight through. This.
Yeah, starting with our own damn party.
Starting with our own party, this myth that media is liberal bias, that is one of the bigger lies they've perpetuated. And as much as I don't want to admit it, and as much as any wingnut listening right now say, well, okay, now and then he might say something I could almost agree with, but now he's really slipped, you know, he's really slipped it. I'm not sure we can even vote anymore.
No.
The machines and 50,000 voters in Florida that are by demographic basis likely to vote Democratic. Oh, it's just demography, I should have said. But anyway, it's so frightening that we may not even be allowed to vote them out. Because he cheated in one election and just...
Well, that was, you know, that was the purpose of the redistricting. And you know what? And what they got away with in Texas, believe me, the plan is larger than Texas. Texas was a little biology experiment, a little political science experiment.
Well, look how well it worked.
Yeah.
There are districts in Texas that are sub-democratic, but they're spread over a 400-mile distance.
Well, look at that one notorious district that... God, starts what, in Dallas and runs down a one-mile strip to somewhere near El Paso or San Antonio or Austin or something. Literally, a one-mile strip. 1 mile wide, gerrymandering. And that, you know, that passed muster.
My relatives in Texas that are basically conservative but grew up in the Democratic Party, they don't think there's anything they can do, but they're... One of them is fuming, and the other just can't believe that anybody doesn't love George Bush. But this one woman in her 70s says there's something basically wrong that my congressional district goes all the way to salt water. Don't you understand, son? I live on the south side of Dallas. How can my congressional district go all the way to salt water?
We're screwed.
Well, we are until we just rise up in such numbers that we force them. You've said it before. 1 million people in the streets of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that'd do it.
Saying, hell no, I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it.
Hell no, you got to go.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, you're a disruptor. Well, we just need to put more people than there are seats in the paddy wagon.
I hope.
Which will force them into shedding our blood. Bob, there's going to come a time when to be a liberal won't be much different than trying to walk across that bridge in Selma. Or was it Montgomery?
No, the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Selma.
It's, not gonna, and it ain't that far away.
Well, it's
heard about it. I watched it on television.
Well, it's not far. The point, David, is that in the Republican Party, it's not far enough away. It is not near enough to suit them. They are looking for that day. They yearn for it. They pray for it. They have two-day religion industry orgies begging God to send them the day that they can start putting us to the sword.
If that judge is happy seeing a teenager with $3 in his pocket be shot in the back of the head, a 10-year-old groped, and any woman that is raped be denied an abortion, if he'll do that, he'll gun us down because we oppose them. There's no law. They don't want a contest. They don't want competition.
They can't win. They can't win the competition.
No.
On a level playing field, they're done. In a battle of ideas, they lose. Naked force is the only way they can win, and that's largely because they know that we got a bunch of people who want to sing Kumbaya.
That's the way we act, and unless and until we get off of that, we're going to get more. We're going to get the government we deserve through inactivity. It's going to happen. It is happening now, and they're doing more and more and more things to ensure that we don't have a means to fight back. And that's really, really, really frightening.
Well, at least Alito's all in favor of us all being able to buy machine guns. Wait, not us. Sorry, I was wrong again.
Yeah.
Hey, David, I got to hit it. But thanks so much. I appreciate all your thoughts all the time.
I appreciate the chance, and it's always worth the wait. And, a little patience pays off.
Appreciate it. Take care.
Have a great night. Hope you feel better.
Thank you. Gonna try.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay, a couple more people on hold. I've only got a couple of minutes. Bob is back with us from North Dakota. You got to hit it fast, Bob. I got one more behind you.
I just wanted to say, Bob, that there is a piece out there, and it tells how we got here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you can shout it out tonight, but you can probably do it the next evening or the next.
Okay.
It's called The Power of Nightmares.
The Power of Nightmares. You getting this, guys? The Power of Nightmares. By?
It's BBC. I'm not sure exactly how you got to get it. It's just The Power of Nightmares. It's how we got into the mess we're in now. Okay?
Okay.
Now, I know you got somebody in the backside, so I love you, son. But The Power of Nightmares.
Well, I'm going to try to find it as soon as we're off the air, and I bet you somebody's already got a link for it on the way to me in the email. Thanks so much, Bob.
Later.
Take care.
Bye.
And Jim. Hey, Jim. Sorry you had to wait.
That's okay, Bob. Listening to what is being said tonight, I was just thinking of an old movie I saw that was made in the 30s. Have you ever seen Marie Antoinette?
No, I don't think so.
Norma Shearer and John Barrymore.
Okay, Agnes is raising her hand, yeah.
Okay, Norma Shearer plays Marie Antoinette, and John Barrymore plays Louis XV, and of course Robert Morley plays Louis XVI. Gladys Parker plays Madame de Pompadour, but one thing that Louis XV said, and he said, "The state shall last my reign, offrez-moi le déluge."
Yeah.
Thinks that is the thing that is basically creeping into the minds of a lot of people. Après-moi le déluge. And he wasn't talking about the weather.
No. And he was right.
He was.
I mean, was that apocryphal, or is that actually said to be attributable?
Attributable. That's what he said. He said, "The state shall last on rain. Après-moi le déluge." Because he could see it coming.
Well, this is no through a glass darkly, is it, Jim? I mean,
I'm just repeating what I know history to say, and it's just unfortunately I wish I could say something better or something cheerful or something bright and all things bright and beautiful, but I'm simply pointing out something that a very wise old French king said who had spent his life doing things he shouldn't, but he realized at the end, after me, the storm.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Jim. We got to get out of here.
Out here.
Later. Thanks, everybody. Goodness me. Thanks, everybody. And thanks for putting up with me. I'm actually, see, you may, I'm feeling better than I was when I came on the air. You guys do this. It's Radio Halen. It's Radio Halen on prayer meeting night. See, it does work. The show, of course, tonight was produced by my equally miserable-feeling lovely wife, Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor. Randy Kerbway is the incredibly talented individual who set up our studio. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the stream of this program and the archives, as well as the archives of many, many other wonderful liberal talk programs. He has served over 5 million hours of liberal talk to people from whom he has never asked a dime. Remember that when you're in a giving mood. And, of course, the show tonight was brought to you, as it is every night, by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they're building the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.